Hello and welcome once again. Today we're going to conclude our two-part sermon, Olympians for Christ. Will you stay with us? Well, let's open with a word of prayer and then we'll get on with it. Dear Heavenly Father, please give me wisdom. Give me true voice, Lord. Help me to understand what your word has to say about certain things, Lord. Lord God, may the things I say today be pleasing unto thee. May you be lifted up, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Proverbs tells us, the book of Proverbs tells us, these six things that God hates, yea, seven are an abomination. You know what number one on the list is? Huh? Number one in the list of abominations to God is a proud look. A proud look. Wow. That's pretty heavy, don't you think? Yes. Now, how many of you heard one of the medal winners give glory to God and praise? Huh? Huh? No. It's me. I did it. Look, Ma. Aren't you proud of me? Well, there you have it. Not everyone. But certainly that's the atmosphere that leads the way when it comes to the Olympics. Friends, the Olympic Games always have and always will try to exalt man to God's level. Well, men and women, okay. Satisfied. Somebody's daughter tripped and fell on the downhill finals. Ooh, somebody's son caught an edge during the figure skating. Somebody's brother got real lucky and walked away with the gold. Another fell short and only captured the bronze. Wow. Then the interviews. There for all the world to behold, a gold medalist on the world's podium, screaming at the top of his lungs, arms flailing, beating on his chest like Tarzan. Ugly mouth stretches beyond its limits. I did it. I won. Look at me. I am the best in the world. Sound exaggerating? What's the heart saying? No mention of God, the God who made this world. Another woman, her face greatly distorted with insane joy. No mention of God. And then the thanks. Oh yes, the grand unfolding of gratitude to all the volunteers, but no thanks to God. And then the climatic closing, the stifling of their Olympic goddess of fire. But no mention of God, the great I am. Not since Johnny came marching home from the Great War has there been such heroes and celebrities. But no thanks to God. Why would there be? I mean, after all, God wasn't there. Oh, the mighty victories and triumphs of mankind. How immensely shallow they shall be in the eyes of our great God. Everything's me in this world. Me. That's why when you see an Olympic box in the grocery store, canvassing for money to support the Olympics, you are faced with a decision. Place your dollars in the box to enhance the pride of mankind, or give it to some starving child suffering with a deadly disease. How can we be so blind, so thoughtless, so cruel? How many have heard of the Mueller effect? George Mueller. If you haven't read George Mueller's biography, I encourage you to do so. George Mueller was truly a man who held fast to the promises of God, unwavering. He gave himself fully to the will of God. George was a man who not only believed that if he was doing God's will, then God would look after and supply all his needs. His needs. I didn't say his wants, his needs. But he also refused to petition for public funds. He firmly believed that since he was doing the will of God, then God would have to supply for all his daily needs. And guess what? He did. He did. Yes, he did. How much did George Mueller trust in God? 100%. While crossing the Atlantic in a steamer, George was supposed to be stateside to attend an important meeting. I believe concerning his orphanage. Partway across, the ship was held almost motionless due to a dense fog. The captain apologized to Mueller for the delay, but Mueller told him not to worry. We will reach our destination on time. He then asked the captain to come to his cabin for a word of prayer. The captain went below with Mueller, and they prayed together that the fog would lift so they could go on their way. After prayer, George looked at the captain and told him the fog was gone and the ship could proceed. When the captain asked George Mueller how he knew for sure when he hadn't even gone up to look, Mueller simply replied, "Because my God answers prayer." When they arrived topside, the fog was gone. The fog was gone. There was no pride in George Mueller. But when it came to praying, I dare say, not even Daniel could hold a candle to George Mueller. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 28, another example of pride unto God, not self-pride. David is accused of pride by his eldest brother when he came forth to deal with Goliath. Oh, what a scene that would be, huh? In verse 37, notice what Saul thought of David's so-called pride. David said, "Moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." To the end, David gave the victory to whom? To whom? To God. As he did when he killed a lion and a bear. My mom and my dad and my two brothers were very proud people, too proud to seek after God. Even when I delivered unto them the gospel of Jesus Christ, breaks my heart when I think about it. The face of the Olympian ice skater was pained and grimaced, for she believed that she was better than second place. Meanwhile, God in heaven had sought humility. Humility. Let's move a little bit down here. Proverbs 16, verse 18 tells us, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." When you've reached the pinnacle of self-esteem, there is nowhere else to go but down. For the Olympian, the gloating victory you share with the world at your feet will be the same feet that trample you at hell's gates. For God was not in it. God was not in it. Daniel 4, verse 37. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor of the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase, When a woman who looks like a man and dresses like a man and sings like a nightingale, but whose partner is a woman of abomination without repentance, steals the hearts of the greatest show on earth, with optimum applause, I might add, even from the weary saints of God, wow, then think not that your reward will be with holy merit. For God is not pleased. When the saints of God, under the cover of disguise, position themselves along the darkened alleyways and hide openly behind dusty warehouse windows with beady binoculars to observe the abomination of their local gay pride parade, then be totally assured that your video highlights shall be waiting to be rerun at the judgment seat of Christ. Thus will they go with you to the pit. Not a pleasant thought. My friends, my enemies, others, I realize that such a message as you have just heard will not make me the most popular guy on the block. No. And that's fine, because I'm not looking for popularity. What I am seeking is the truth. The truth that can only be found in God's Word. Now, some of you may say that I am an awful pessimist and got nothing good to say. Fine. Some may even say there is no love in me. That's your prerogative. But before you condemn me totally, all I ask is that you study the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures to show yourself approved unto God. Okay? I know we live in a world that continues to worsen every day. There's more murder and immorality out there than any of us or even all of us can subdue. It's a world we have to live in, at least for now. A world we have to play in. But at the same time, we must be in. But not totally all of it. Do you get that? We must be in it, but not totally all of it. Not an easy task for any of us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, it's imperative that we do all to the glory of God. Have you got that? All to the glory of God. So, call me Mr. Negative if you want to. But remember this. Jesus preached more on hell than he did on heaven. Why would that be? Why would he preach more on hell than on heaven? Because hell is where he doesn't want anybody to go. Okay? If you can decrease the negative and increase the positive, hell and heaven, which do you choose? A positive, of course. And you can do that, even at this very moment. Oh, I'm going to call you sinners. You know why? Because we're all sinners. And I say to you, sinners, if you haven't given your life totally over to God, repented and believed in Jesus Christ and what took place at Calvary. Don't waste another moment. Do it before it's too late. And it will be too late when you close your eyes in death. In these end times, the negative ions are out of control. And they'll continue to plague, especially the children of God. You see, the closer you walk with God, the more this world, which is run by the devil, will hate you. Will hate you. The President of the United States gave his will over to God. And the more he does submit to God, the more the world around him hates him. Those who are of the devil. The devil. Take heart, my people. Take heart. You can be on the winning side. Not in a world gone mad, but in a heaven and a God that's glad for you. Why did I use the Olympics as the center of my attack today? You might be wondering that. Why did you pick on the Olympics? Well, because the world, now listen carefully, because the world assembles as it does at the Olympic Games, then every eye is able to see that one common denominator. That one common denominator that continues to fuel and hate, abuse, and corrupt the immorality that is the very mainstay of a world society. That one word is pride. Pride. Are you filled with pride today? Are you? Now, don't get confused, please. Don't say, what a pessimist. I mean, he hates the Olympic Games. There's nothing wrong with the Olympic Games. Well, listen there. No, there's nothing wrong with competing in a sport-like manner in the world. No, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you see what has encompassed such a tremendously large venue as the Olympic Games, when you see and understand what's going on behind the scenes, the gambling, the hatred, which far outdoes the love. When you see this coming about, what can you do? Well, if you're a Christian, you can pray. Pray. A Christian's favorite weapon is prayer. I use it every day. To deter or confuse or to rid myself of the enemy. And I use it also to enhance the blessings that I seek. You see, prayer is a two-way venue. But prayer is not welcome where the world's elite are gathered to assemble themselves as their own kind of God. No, it's not welcome there. Did you know that? Anybody that prays at the Olympic Games probably, I would imagine, prays secretly. Dare you mention Jesus Christ standing upon an Olympic podium, waiting for your medals? Dare you? You'll be booed into oblivion. Not so many years ago, perhaps, but today. Today, Jesus Christ is no longer the head of even many so-called Christians. He's just another name. A name that plagues you day after day because it gets in the way of what you want to believe and achieve. Is that the way it is with you? The world is watching the Olympic podium as those who have survived, you might say, those who have excelled beyond anyone else in their category, will stand and proudly receive an Olympic medal. And the world will rejoice and say, "Well done, well done." But go on that same podium and say, "Only by the grace of God have I achieved this medal today. Without Him in my life, I would not be able to overcome." And see what happens. If they don't burn you to the stake, they'll probably kick you off the podium and say, "We don't want religion at the games." Are you getting the point? I pray so. Seek ye to be an Olympian? Huh? Then be ye an Olympian of faith. Have you got that? Be ye an Olympian of faith. In the end, the medals will tarnish, the praises will diminish to a simple, "Well done," and the mighty trumpets of exultation will be lost in the gales of the tribulation. And all that will really matter then is the God you never knew. The God you never knew. As the sin of pride continues to manifest itself in the hearts and the minds of men, please rest assured that the same Jesus we pledge our allegiance to is standing at the very portals of glory, anticipating the Father's command to sound the trumpet of redemption. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. What a day, wonderful day that will be. Oh yes, my friends, it's not so much the games people play or even the awards they receive. No, it's about something more precious. More precious, the greatest award of all, the greatest award of all, the salvation of the human soul, the salvation of the human soul. So, where do you stand concerning the Olympic Games? Again, I must tell you, it's not the games themselves. It's what's involved, how sin has moved in. and made the prestige of man to none effect in the eyes of God. You see, nothing matters without God in it. You can't say, now listen there, we're going to hold these games, and the best man or woman's going to win the prize, and we don't want any talk about Jesus Christ or God, because these are our games, they're not God's, they're ours. Surprise! Everything that enters into the heart of man, God knows about. And if you deny Him, whether it be in the Olympics or in your own hometown or in your own house, if you deny Jesus Christ and His finished work at Calvary, and you do that very easily by not receiving Him, by repenting and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's how you deny Him. If you do, you know what? An Olympic gold medal or silver or bronze is nothing more than wood, hay, and stubble. That's all it is. Wood, hay, and stubble. My friends, I pray that the words that were spoken today would have some impact on your way of thinking when it comes to competition in the world today, especially on high levels, such as the Olympic Games. It's nothing wrong with being a good sport, playing the game, but only if God is in it. Only if God is in it. Thank you. May God bless each and every one of you who are holding the line for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.